It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security.
Welcome to the National Security Hour on America Out Loud News, the talk radio network on iHeartRadio, where you will hear the voice of freedom and the out loud truth. I'm your host, John Ritchie. Today on the National Security Hour, we're going to discuss the military and the deterioration of our military academies. We're going to discuss some of the things that are causing that, everything from DEI to vaccinations to the dismantling of the Honor Code at West Point. And we're also going to talk about the Borman Commission 2.0. This is an initiative that is being brought on by the Heritage Foundation under Project 2025. And I'm sure you're going to enjoy hearing about that. And we're also going to discuss the MacArthur Society as well. Today, I'm joined by three renowned military experts, Major General Paul Vallely, U.S. Army retired, Colonel Bill Prince, U.S. Army retired, and James Bowden, former assistant professor at West Point. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me on this panel.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I want to start the discussion today, and I'm going to lead in with Paul. Paul, you brought this to my attention, this subject, and it's one that I've had the opportunity to read quite a little bit about and look up some of the things that we're seeing within the ranks of our military, some of the things we're seeing in the degradation of our military forces, and especially what we're seeing in the academies where you all three of you have gone to school and have studied. I'd like to hear from you about some of the things you're witnessing, and then I'll go to Jim and Bill next. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, thank you, John. Happy to be with you again. What we're going to talk about today are really internal problems within our military and armed forces. And if we track back to the Obama administration, when he basically purged about 120 senior officers, and he also started focusing and pushing social issues into the Pentagon, into the armed forces, which began a deterioration, of our readiness in the military. But in early 2023, in the aftermath of COVID, when it came in 21, we started to get a lot of complaints from some of the cadets that were being forced to take the vax. And so Lieutenant General Tom McInerney, former Vice Chief of Staff of the Air Force, Colonel Andrew O'Meara, and myself, we wrote a letter to West Point, and basically it was entitled Betrayal at West Point. And we outlined a number of things which came to light then was not only the mandatory vaccine, but the recruiting at West Point, and then also... later on came this critical race theory, diversity, equity, inclusion, DEI instruction, dismantling to a degree of the honor code at West Point, which is duty, honor, country, cadet does not lie, cheat, or steal. And then, this led us then to look at what the Association of Graduates of West Point was doing to keep focus on the traditions of what we call the long gray line, and the abolition of some of these values and the traditions that we so kept hallowed within us as graduates since West Point was founded in 1802. So it goes back, and you look at the likes of MacArthur, Eisenhower, Patton, all the great generals we had. We started looking at this deterioration at West Point within the military. And so this led then to the formation of another group that was going to stand by the traditions and values of West Point and not let these current woke generals tear down those things. And we formed then the MacArthur Society, named after Douglas MacArthur. So that's an overview, John. And Bill Prince is the president of the MacArthur Society, along with one of the board members, Jim Bowden. Jim's going to focus on the Borman Commission 2.0 which will be the future of bringing back those traditions and values to West Point. So that's just a quick overview, John.
No, I appreciate that. Thanks, Paul. I'd like to go to Bill next. And Bill, I'd just like to get I'd like to hear some of the examples. I mean, I think Paul went over, gave us a nice overview, but I'd like to hear some of the things that really concern you the most. And we'll certainly be able to lead into the foundation and what you all are working on next. But I'd like to hear some of your concerns here as well.
John, I have to admit, I'm heartsick over what I'm seeing within the Army and especially at the military academy. I started with Rangers and Special Forces in Vietnam as a young lieutenant, and I ended up deploying 11 times between Iraq and Afghanistan, and with Somalia and El Salvador and Haiti and Bosnia and a bunch of other places along the way. Each one of those deployments, while I was still on active duty in the Army or later on when I was in the agency, I worked very closely with our military. And so as I've watched the deterioration in force readiness brought in by some folks who I don't think have our best interests at heart. They're trying to use, these folks are trying to use the military as an experimental platform for a bunch of, in my view, progressive ideas that are terribly detrimental to the military, to the our force readiness. We need to be about producing most lethal warriors we possibly can to fight our wars in an increasingly dangerous world. And instead, I think at the military academy, we have gotten into a focus on diversity, equity and inclusion, and critical race theory, and a minor in diversity and inclusion. I think all of this is very, very detrimental to our force readiness.
Well, Paul, let me ask you real quickly, just going back to, and I'll get to James in just a minute. I just wanted to ask you one quick question, Paul, and that is going to what some of your initial observations were. What are we seeing out of the Pentagon? What are some things there at that leadership level? I mean, are we really having staff generals look at this and say, this is a good idea? Or I mean, they came through the same ranks you did, and the same ranks Paul and Jim came through. What's the cause of that?
Well, they're buying into this left-wing ideology that's been pushed by the White House since Obama. Now we see Biden. But what's indicative of what's happening, John, is readiness. We have reenlistments down. Our young men and women, and even their parents, don't want them to go into the military. And a lot of this happened when we surrendered in Afghanistan. I mean, unbelievable.
Agree.
The impact that's had on the attitude, the acceptance of our military now. We don't have confidence in our generals anymore, or admirals for West Point and generals at the Air Force Academy and within the Air Force. So when you see that deterioration, and we don't have the general standing up, countering what's going on, where they should be focusing on protecting America, protecting our borders, which I've been pushing, taking down the cartels, this invasion that's going on. So all of these things have affected the armed forces of America. And that's why with new leadership, we've got to rebuild that again. It's going to take a while. We just don't have a focused military now that is safeguarding America and its citizens, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, now I want to jump to you, Jim, because you've taught in these institutions, both in the academy, and you've also got some experience teaching on the private, on the civilian side as well, I see. But my thing is, having that experience inside the academic side of this, the military academic side, What are your observations of this? What are some things you're seeing that are so critical, that are so, and they're damaging us right now at the leadership level?
First of all, let me follow on with something Paul said. If you want to know what happened to the general officers, why they started off being great, company grade and field grade officers in the field, and then something happens to them when they're general officers, look at the cleaning out of the general officer rank in all the services during the Obama administration. How many officers were specifically moved out of the ranks, and then new ones were brought up who were specifically picked for their flexibility to the political goals? There are a number of things, John, that I've seen. Let me give you a few data points. There was a cadet, Rapone, who made national news because he had his Che Guevara shirt on underneath his dress gray uniform, and he had his "Communism will win." This fellow graduated. He was soon kicked out of the Army. But what's wrong with this picture that he went through all 4 years at West Point and nobody picked up on the fact that this guy was an avowed Marxist, not just a communist, and he wanted communism to win? There's something wrong with that. There are plenty of examples of youthful exuberance that cadets may exhibit, or folly, if you will. But it's completely different when you get over to the malevolent side. Then come forward from that to June 2020, in the after the death of George Floyd. Nine recent West Point graduates who were very proud of what they had achieved at West Point and were captains of teams and a couple of Marshall Scholars. I can't remember if there was a Rhodes Scholar or not, but Marshall Scholars, Fulbright Scholars. Nine cadets or former cadets wrote a 40-page insubordinate screed about how West Point should be an anti-racist institution. And it had a number of problems. One is, my reading of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, it was purely insubordinate and they should have been court-martialed because they're on active duty for the things they said against their chain of command and the way they said them. And secondly, it was cultural Marxist 101. It was absolute garbage. It was, and yet they thought that this was somehow a great piece of work. It was pathetic. It was pathetic in its scholarship and abysmal in how it was just cultural Marxism 101. So did those nine graduates, did they have that from high school and they just kept it secret for 4 years? Mm-hmm. Or how much of that did they gain at the academy?
Right.
That's a question that's never been answered.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then following that, we've had a number of cheating. We had a big cheating scandal that was covered up too long. And then the administration was less than forthcoming and less than truthful about the results of it. And there are other examples. There was an upperclassman who stole a watch out of the PX, and they have video of him. Well, all three of us, if we had done that at any time at the academy, we would have been thrown out. This guy graduated.
Yeah. No, I think your examples are spot on, Jim. And I it's interesting to me because I think the point that you just kind of brought, or the question that you're bringing up, is, were these kids like this before? Now, we're seeing this in the private, you know, in the civilian side of it as well. We're seeing kids go to these government indoctrination universities, these public universities. They're getting degrees in nonsense. And they're in parents will tell you all the time about this evolution they see in their child, where they're coming out of farms and conservative communities and going to these big schools, and they're brainwashing them. They're changing they're indoctrinating them. And so I see what's happening in the universities the same as what we're seeing in the military academy. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me really make you confident in the future of our military security. You can get a minor in diversity studies at the United States Military Academy.
Oh my goodness. Oh my
God. If that doesn't thrill your heart and make you confident in the nation's safety, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
So you can get a diversity. Plus, they have, and Bill can talk to this in great detail because he went to the conference. They have an annual diversity conference at West Point. They have, And let me backtrack for a second. There are many kids who come out of high schools who do not have this indoctrination. It is creeping down into high school. It's actually creeping down. I saw something recently where a fifth grade class in Santa Monica, California was being taught about their white privilege in the fifth grade. Of course, it was Santa Monica. But there are specific things you can go to the class. You can in 2021, you could, there was a thing called the Green Book, where you could do a deep dive on every course that's being taught at West Point and actually look at on a hour by hour instruction what textbooks they were using, what TED Talks, what other instruction materials they had. You can't do that any longer. You can simply see the names of the courses. I did a deep dive in September of 2021, and I can name the courses where they teach cultural Marxism. But in addition to that, the ideas of cultural Marxism, the ideas of DEI, CRT, are embedded throughout the course of instruction. There's actually presently in the Academy's website, they talk about two major themes that they want to drive through the 4 years at the Academy. And one of them is about, it's essentially your social economic score. I'm screwing that up. It's ESG. It's your equity social score. Again, forgive me for getting the name wrong. I speak cultural Marxism, but sometimes I have to translate. My mind has to translate the garbage. But it's in there, and it names the courses. It names the courses in environmental studies. It names the courses in history. It names the courses in psychology. It names the courses in social studies, where this thread is pursued for every single cadet. So.
Okay, let me do this real quick. We're about to come on a break, but I do want to come back. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that and how that's affected the leadership in the Pentagon. I'm going to have Paul and Bill talk to me about that a little bit. And then we're going to talk about a thing called the Borman Commission 2.0. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on the media player from any web browser, anywhere to anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexis, where we stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on the podcast on those same apps. So we're putting those into podcasts several days later. So we're going to go on a break, and we'll be back right after this.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms. But left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Lean. Pure. With premium ingredients. Global Healing's pure plant protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop. And it's the perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with pure plant protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
And we're back. This is the National Security Hour, and I'm your host, John Ritchie. And I want to remind everybody that all the shows go to podcast typically 1 to 2 days after the broadcast is heard on the talk radio. This broadcast is heard on Thursday nights on iHeartRadio. You can hear them on Spotify, the podcasts on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and iHeart Podcast, and many more. So be sure you subscribe and make sure you rate the shows and let us know what you think of them. I'm joined by Major General Paul Vallely, U.S. Army retired, Colonel Bill Prince, U.S. Army retired, and James Bowden, U.S. Army retired, and also a former assistant of a professor at West Point. All are graduates of West Point, all have been part of the leadership of our military, and that's what we're talking about today is the military and the degradation of the military and where that's gone. Now, I want to pose this next portion with you, and that is that not too long ago there was a letter written by a group of retired generals that kind of pointed out a lot of what we're seeing here, and it went to the leadership in the Pentagon, and it was released to the media almost right away. I saw it in the media, and Bill, I want to start with you and get what are your thoughts on that? I even saw people like General Flynn. He passed it around, and there were several other Army officers I saw on Twitter that had forwarded that. What are your thoughts on that?
John, I'm afraid I'm not familiar with that letter. Can you give me some more details?
Yeah, this was a letter, and it was addressing a lot of the issues with what had happened in Afghanistan, what had happened with the vax, and I think there were some things that had gone on there where these generals really felt like this had just gone too far. It was almost like the letter of the 51 Intel people that wrote about the laptop, or it was like the generals that just came out recently about Trump. It was that same kind of letter, but it was more in support of Trump, and it was more against some of these ideas that we see happening. Paul, if you had something you wanted to, you might have to say about that as well.
Yeah, John, let me go ahead and describe that. We formed several years ago Flag Officers for America, Flag Officers Number 4 for America, made up of over 250 generals that were retired. And what we were doing was countering the left-wing generals that were following and basically appointed in senior positions by Obama, now working for Biden. And 16 of them came out again last week against Trump. But these are all left-wing ideologues that follow the Obama pattern and were put in place in positions by Obama. And
right.
So they've had a plan all along. But, you know, and I'll end on this. I'm just surprised that we don't have one general officer on active duty that's standing up countering what's going on. They seem to be so worried about a future position in the defense industry or being challenged in some way. And I think Bill and Jim would agree with me. This is so frustrating. We can't get them to stand up for the values and traditions of the Army. And particularly
sure.
West Point, where many of them graduated from.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we've seen, I'm like you, Paul, you and I have had this discussion. I can't believe that somebody hasn't stepped forward and said enough's enough. I can't stay here and continue carrying out these kind of orders. Yeah. They just stay in there and they continue to do it. And you saw that with the, I think somebody had brought up the Afghanistan withdrawal as well. And we saw that there, and no one at any time. And finally, I don't know, maybe one of you can address this. I saw that the officer that was in charge of that withdrawal came out here recently in a hearing up on the Hill and talked about how, yeah, this wasn't performed right and this wasn't done right. And Biden wanted to push this through and push it through. And we all told him this wasn't the way to do it. But you still did it. That's the thing I don't understand. How do you stand up on the Hill? You have, 16, 18 families that lost people on a very, very poor decision. Bill, I'm going to let you address this. Something that withdrawal from Afghanistan, what we saw there, it was, that's just, and to have this guy up on the Hill talking about this like he was a pedestrian in this, a bystander.
John, I did a podcast for another organization just a few days after Kabul fell. I spent a fair amount of time in Vietnam and then spent quite a bit of time in Afghanistan. And this organization asked me to compare and contrast and express my thoughts. And 2 points that I'd like to make very quickly. One is that, in my considered opinion, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Mark Milley, and the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, had either faced two situations. One, either they gave good advice to the administration and the administration ignored it, in which case the two of them should have resigned by saying, obviously, to the administration and to the president, we have lost your confidence, so we are submitting our resignations. Or if they gave their advice to the administration and the administration took their horrible advice, then they should resign if they had professional integrity. Was appalling to me, frankly, that neither of those individuals resigned. And having spent, as I said, a fair amount of time in Afghanistan, it did not have to be that way. One of the things that I did, and this was this podcast that I did, was just 3 or 4 days after Kabul fell. And I said, I'm going to look at my crystal ball, and I can anticipate that the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, and the North Koreans will consider this administration either incompetent or weak or both, and they will press us. And I said that just several days after that debacle. And I can't claim to have a very good crystal ball on a lot of things. But if you look at what has transpired since that debacle, and I'm convinced that we've got some bad actors that are looking at us, this administration, as incompetent or weak or both. Whether you agree with that or not is kind of beside the point. I can promise you that's how our enemies are looking at us. And here we face these significant threats, and we seem to be focused on pronouns and inclusion and diversity. And I think we are headed for some real trouble over the near term.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, everybody saw what happened with the fall of Kabul and the retaking of Afghanistan by the Taliban. And I think we all saw that. But the one thing that I think gets lost in this is that we left all those weapons. We left a bunch of stuff over there. And that stuff just doesn't dissipate. I'm an old intel officer. I know where that stuff is. I know where it's going. And I also know that we have people within our own establishment that see that and know that as well. So there's so much you could go in on this, but just kind of sticking to where we are on the issue here with the military and the degradation of the military. I want to go to Jim. And Jim, I want to ask you a little bit about what we're looking at with this where we are right now, the state of you know, the executive in the military right now, the executive leadership in the military, and then kind of lead into one of the things that you're working on with the Bowman or Borman 2.0 Commission, please.
Well, I've read a lot about civil military relations and studied it. And anyway, I'm hesitating for a second. The voices in my head are arguing. I don't care to comment on the state of civil military relations other than to say the Secretary of Defense has used his authority to clean out the general officer ranks. And it's been Secretary Rumsfeld started it under the Bush administration. And then under the Obama administration, it continued, it increased, and it probably changed in the manner in which it was being used. And that's really all I'm able to say about that. But I do want to tie this together with the Borman, Joint Borman 2.0 Commission. The first Borman Commission was about, there was a cheating scandal in 1976. It was a shock to the nation. So President Ford ordered gave a presidential executive order and established a blue ribbon panel. The head of the panel was retired West Point graduate Air Force Colonel and astronaut Frank Borman. And he held this, he sponsored this commission, which studied the cheating scandal. When they did that, they found out, they gave a number of recommendations, but they said there was a bigger problem at the academy, that there was the climate of the culture of command was off, and that it needed to be fixed, which led to a series of other actions that happened. Our estimation is that we can see a lot of smoke, but we don't know where all the fire is. And if I can change metaphors for you, we know that there's a rot, but like trying to get the black mold out of your house, until we start ripping up boards, we're not going to know how deep it goes. So our colleagues, graduates from the Air Force Academy and the Naval Academy, and us are working together. We're working with the Heritage Foundation on Project 2025, which is the nightmare for all the people who are in the administration today.
Right.
We have a pillar there, and that is that if a new administration can be elected, if that can happen in November, that there'd be a presidential executive order that would establish a joint Borman Commission 2.0. They may obviously change the name, call it whatever they want to call it. And that commission in 300 days with a blue ribbon panel would do a deep dive into what's going on at the academies. And I want to make this exceptionally clear. It will be accused of all sorts of things by the left because we're in a cultural war, but it is an apolitical exercise. It is an examination of what's going on in every aspect of the academies, the honor system, the academics, the recruiting, the race-based administration, admissions, the retention of officers after they graduate, to look at what are the needs of the services for the next 50 to 75 years. That's three life cycles of career officers. Mm-hmm. What do the services and the nation need from the academies? That's the point of what we call the Joint Borman Commission 2.0.
Okay. And from what I understand, and I've been talking to some folks from Heritage as well about this Project 2025 idea, being to make sure that we've got that next layer that next layer of bureaucracy, but it's the bureaucracy that will be there to support the chief executive officer and the commander in chief, and not just this embedded deep state group of bureaucrats that are going to continue to try to undermine and nullify the thing. So is that what would I understand that to be? The president can only come in and appoint so many people, you know, to his staff and to the cabinet. And then you've got thousands of people underneath these people that lead departments, lead offices that need to also be rooted out and changed out so that you have everybody kind of in sync. Am I right on that?
I would say categorically, yes. And I'd add that we don't pretend to know that answer today. We don't pretend to know it.
Right.
The reason for the commission is to do an apolitical deep dive, find out what the facts are, and find out what needs to be restored, what needs to be reformed, and what needs to be improved to make the Academy serve the armed services and the nation.
Okay. The last thing I want to do here, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to talk to you three gentlemen about some of the things that you're working on. We just touched on the Borman Commission 2.0, but I want to talk about the MacArthur Society. I want to talk about, Paul, what you're working on with Stand Up America U.S. Foundation and how we can start implementing measures, based on what we find, based on some of these findings. What are the things we need to be looking at? And what are the things some of the people, okay, everybody's not in the military, but they see the military, their kids are in the military. What do we need to be looking at as well as parents and supporters of the military? So I'm going to get to you and we'll come back to that right after the break. But first, I want to say you can find out more about my show and get all of the latest podcasts if you go to the menu in the nav bar on AmericaOutloud.com. Under our shows and our schedules, you'll be in the know. You'll know where everything goes, when it plays and when it's on live and when it's on podcast. So make sure you go to that app or go to that site. That is the AmericaOutloud.com site, and make sure you get in there and check that out. And we'll take a break. And gentlemen, I'll see you on the other side.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX. Because it works.
And we're back. This is the National Security Hour. And I have Major General Paul Vallely with me. He is U.S. Army retired. I have Colonel Bill Prince, U.S. Army retired, and James Bowden, former assistant professor at West Point, and he is also U.S. Army retired. This segment, gentlemen, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the solutions. We've talked about the problems. We've cited some of the effects we're seeing of these issues. But I'd like to talk about some of the movements we're seeing out here, some of the organizations. I want to start with you, Paul, and just kind of have you lay out what you're working on. I know you and I have discussed your foundation, Stand Up America. I'd like you to talk a little bit about that. And then I want to go to Bill and James and some of the work they're doing on MacArthur Society. But go ahead, Bill, or Paul.
Bill can go into depth on one of our initiatives for the future, the MacArthur Society and the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation, which has been around for some 20 years now, is one of the supporting foundations for MacArthur. So we're looking to the future. The Borman Commission that Jim has talked about is going to look to the future. What do we have to do to rebuild because of all this dismantling of values, traditions, that have existed in the military? We're really concerned about our young men and women going into the military academies today. Very concerned that they're going to get the right leadership that'll make them the best officers they can be. Be all you can be, the old Army slogan, be all you can be. But that requires more focus on military training, tactics, strategy, and not all this emphasis on these social programs that they brought in through this left-wing influence, I would say, on the academies. One of the things we didn't bring up was even Division I athletics has had an effect, where we've looked at lower skilled or required people coming into the academies because they were better football players, for example, and then they didn't continue in a career in the military. So a lot of these things, and I think, Jim, I'm not sure, probably we'll be talking about that in the Borman Commission when they put that together. But we're totally focused, action-oriented on making the best officers and making the best climate for teaching and understanding what our enemies are doing. How do we counter that? And that's what our officers should be about, leading men and women. The enlisted people that we're bringing into the armed forces need to have the best leadership they can. And so, John, that's our total focus. We're committed. We're not going to sit back anymore and let these woke generals roll all over us, roll over the academies and what we've stood for since 1802. So we're very positive, and we want to bring good things back to the military and the academy.
No, that's great. Paul, and I know you've talked about and had some really good ideas about how it needs to be structured and what that should look like. And I think those are going to be real important things as well, if you want to add to that.
Sure. Well, we have to reimage our armed forces because if you look at the population out there, now they've seen what's happened in Afghanistan. They've seen what has happened, particularly in the academies and within the ranks. And so what we want to do is reawaken, rebuild. And one of the proposals, models we're looking at is that we change the Department of Defense to the Department of the Armed Forces of America and make our armed forces command-driven, not staff-driven. One of the models gets rid of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We put in a five-star commander that reports direct to the president. We get rid of half of the political appointees in the Pentagon. Get rid of that deep state, which does exist, by the way, in the Pentagon, as it does the other branches in the parts of the White House, CIA, FBI, and so on. Down the line. So we want to change that with a new looking army that we can recruit to and build the Army, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, and Marines.
Yeah, I agree. I saw a lot of it in the government as well. You're exactly right. And I mean, I saw it 10 years ago. I mean, this has just been building and growing. It's been a festering problem within the, it was that way in the agency. I saw it even in my time in the military. So this definitely didn't happen overnight. It's not going to be cured that quickly as well, like you said. Bill, I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. I know you're leading the MacArthur Society as well and working on that. And what are your thoughts there?
I am president of the MacArthur Society, and I'd like to read our mission statement because it's foundational to what we do and what we're about. And our mission is to preserve, defend, and advocate for West Point's history, purpose, and principles of duty, honor, country. Now, given that mission statement, I think most of your listeners could understand why we were so concerned with the superintendent, Lieutenant General Steve Gillen, his decision to expunge duty, honor, country from the USMA official mission statement. I'd like to make the point that we are apolitical and our donations are tax deductible, and we have a fabulous website, MacArthurSociety.org, which has some great, great information. But I'd like to hit on a couple of things that we think are just foundational for going forward. And first and foremost, we want to eliminate racial discrimination in admission. We feel strongly that demonstrated merit should be the sole determining factor in who gets admitted to the military academy. There should be no room for group identity as part of decision-making to admit candidates into West Point. As General Vallely referred to a moment ago, unfortunately, we have over probably several decades been letting in admitting candidates based on their physical abilities rather than whether they were really capable of undergoing a the program at the military academy. We want to eliminate all forms of racial stereotyping, to include condemning DEI and critical race theory. We feel that DEI actually causes division rather than promotes teamwork. And as you know from your time in the military and in the agency, in hostile areas, it's all about teamwork. You have to work as a team and trust each other.
Yeah.
We're demanding transparency, and one of the things that we're finding, and this is a pretty serious critique of my alma mater, but I believe they are not being transparent in responding to letters and Freedom of Information Act requests. I submitted an FOIA request over 2 years ago. Now, by federal law, a federal agency has 20 business days to respond to an FOIA request. I've been waiting over 2 years. And I told the superintendent directly when I talked to him last month, I said, West Point has a serious transparency problem. We found that, and as I think General Vallely or Jim referred to a moment ago, these folks on the other side really like to work in the shadows. Well, we want to shine the spotlight on what's going on there. We want to return to a resolute honor code. A cadet does not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. And then if you violate the honor code, well, thank you very much. Goodbye. And and we are very concerned about eliminating duty, honor, country from the mission statement. So our primary objective is to get the word out, and we appreciate you having us on and urge people to go to our website, MacArthurSociety.org, and for more information. Thanks, John.
Absolutely, Bill. Thank you. And those are good points there. I want to go last here to James and I want to talk to you a little bit. You know, I heard somebody mention earlier about how, you know, how they you know, we have people in our young men and young women today that have foregone going into the military because of some of the things they've seen. Their parents are talking to them, and I'm one of them. I came from a great-grandfather that served, a father that served, I served, and I had a son that was ready to go serve, and Afghanistan happened. the collapse and fall of Kabul. Those young men died out there at that airport in Kabul. And it was at that moment I could not look at my son with any kind of honesty and recommend that he do something when you do not have the leadership, the executive leadership, the command leadership, that you would trust to do anything like that with your child, with your son or your daughter. And so, and as much as that haunts me sometimes to say, I come from a long line of people that served, I had no problems telling my son, this is not a smart move right now. This leads to how important what we see at that Pentagon and in the command structure and in the academics you guys have talked about, spoken about, the corruption and degradation we're seeing, what happens there. Now, I want to link that because I know you're part of the MacArthur Society. I think you'd mentioned you're on the board there of that as well. And you're doing some things with the Borman Commission 2.0 as well. I'd just like you to comment on that to all the people listening that have children that are experiencing the same thing. What are your thoughts on that?
Several things, or two things at least. First of all, I'm an Army brat who went to West Point when I was 17, served 20 years, was a contractor after that, and have been out of that for almost a decade now. I've been writing about it, but I haven't been actively involved working with the military every day. And in that time, the Army was integrated in 1949. There were huge racial problems and drug problems coming out of Vietnam. The Army that Paul, Bill, and I served in for the rest of our time solved those problems, fixed those problems. And it amazes me, in terms of what new thing can be learned in terms of race relations, what new thing has to come up to be solved on a daily basis, because it's thrown in our faces on a daily basis. And to get back to your question, I have a grandson, my grandson, whose dad was a naval special operator, and his mother and I, his grandfather, not encouraging him to go into the military, because your lives can't be trusted. You can't be trusted with the leadership, some of the leadership that we have today. I'm talking more about the political leadership. Conversely, let me say this. There are a lot of the strength still at the military academy is the people that you do have there, the young people that you do have. A classmate of mine sent me a video yesterday. It's a 10-minute video from the military academy. And if you saw it, you would think that things are awesome. You would think that this is the greatest place ever. Showed them doing a lot of Army stuff, a few things in the classroom, but a lot of really cool Army stuff, a lot of rappelling, a lot of firing of weapons, and all that. Mm. That we believe that they may be doing 85 or 90% of this, what may be going on there is good and is tried and true with the traditions of the Army and also for the other service academies. The problem is, if you have a cancer, and if the cancer is 5% or 10% or 15%, it's still going to kill you. And that's what we're trying to deal with. That's what we're working against. Today, the United States Military Academy is a uniformed liberal arts college. Is that what the American people want? Or should it be a school for soldiers? That's the question.
Right. No, I agree. I agree 100%. Paul, I want to start out by thanking you gentlemen for coming on. And Paul, thank you for bringing everybody together here. I think this is a perfect panel for this discussion. You all brought all the points that needed to be brought. And I think there's some solutions in here for listeners to listen to go to, and to look up. Paul, where do people find you if they want to follow you online?
They can go to Stand Up America. USA1@gmail.com or SUAUS1961@gmail.com. And it's standupamericaus.org is the website. So support us. We're doing great things, working with a number of different groups out there trying to restore America. And we're very, very proud of the number of West Point graduates and others, because others can join the MacArthur Society. Anybody can, families and fathers and mothers and aunts and uncles, so on.
Excellent.
We need your support to restore the traditions and values of the long gray line at West Point.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul. How about you, Bill? How do people follow you?
The MacArthur Society has only been in existence for less than a year, and so we're very, very proud of a relatively new website that we have. And so I would urge people, anyone that's interested in the military academy, to go to MacArthurSociety.org, and that will send you to our website, which is, in my view, I'm a little biased, but my view, it is extraordinarily well done. And it has tremendous information on what's happening at the military academy. And it is probably one of the best vehicles for shining the light on what's going on there. And as we've mentioned before, it seems like our progressive opposition loves to work in the shadows. And so we want to shine the light.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Bill. Thanks a lot. How about you, Jim? How can people follow you?
I'm a writer. I've written over 1,000 pieces since 9/11. I'm carried on a website run by a retired Army colonel and West Pointer that can't be deplatformed. It is AFNN.us. It's America Freedom News Network at .us.
Very well. Thank you so much. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me. And just really quickly, I want to remind everybody, America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where we can stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on the podcast, on any of the podcast apps as well. So make sure you join us there. I want to thank you all for joining me today, and thank you all for this great panel. It worked out really well, and I appreciate that. And I hope to have you back on again. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right. And on that note, I want to thank all the great people at America Out Loud News for their support. And I want to thank you for joining us on this mission. The National Security Hour is the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. And I want to thank you for joining us on that.